Hi there, friends. Welcome to Faith FM Drive Time Big Q&A. This is the show where we look at the big questions of life. This is the show where we look at current world events in the light of Bible prophecy. Well, this is Marty coming to you live from the beautiful city of Adelaide. The question we're going to be dealing with today is a big one. Does church attendance make someone a faithful believer? Is there an issue with hypocrisy among Christians today? These are big questions, and today to help us to grapple with these questions, I'm joined in the studio by Pastor Justin Strauss. Justin is the pastor of the Adelaide City Church. Welcome to you, Justin.
G'day, Marty. It's good to be back on the show.
I love hearing you say g'day in that South African accent.
Yeah, that's right.
It sounds good.
Thank you.
Hey, you know, it was a blessing to be at your church on Sabbath.
It was a blessing to have you as well.
You know, I really was quite forthright with the church folk. I hope that was okay.
No, we got really positive feedback.
Praise God. Well, you know, it was on the parable. I preached on the parable of the wise and the foolish virgins.
Which is one of my favorite parables.
It is. It's so important for Christians today because it deals with the current issues that we face, and I don't think you can preach that one in a sort of a soft way. It's a strong message. It's a challenging message, and so I think it's better for us to grapple with the challenge now rather than to find out that that we get to the wedding and the door is shut.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you know, messages that convict us of our shortcomings and lead us to Jesus are always good messages.
Friends, I want to just see where you're listening from today. Give us a shout out. We would love to hear from you in the studio today. Where are you listening from? And why don't you tell us one of your favorite sermon topics that you've ever heard a sermon on? Because you might inspire us to actually preach on a different subject that we haven't preached on before. So, send us a text. Our studio number here is 04-888-808-11. I'll give you that number one more time. It's 04-888-808-11. Send us a text. Tell us where you're listening from. Tell us your favorite sermon. Maybe you've got a passage of scripture that really speaks to you and stirs your heart. Love to hear from you in the studio today. Tell us where you're listening from. We know that Faith FM broadcasts all over Australia and has approximately 3 million people who tune in across Australia in any given year. So that is some pretty exciting things that are taking place. So tell us where you're listening from today. We'd love to hear from you. Justin, as we keep going with the program today for our World Watch, I'd like us to come to an article that was just released yesterday. It's called, it was actually from the World Religion News website. And the title of the article was, "At the 2026 World Cup, Faith Was Never Far From the Field." So I actually want to come to this article and read some of the insights from this article. So this was released by the World Religion News editorial staff just yesterday. At the 2026 World Cup, faith was never far from the field. The 2026 FIFA World Cup ended Sunday, July 19, with Spain defeating Argentina 1-0. And this was after extra time at the New York, New Jersey Stadium. But the tournament's religious story was larger than any single match. Across the month-long competition, players and fans brought faith into public view through prayer, gestures of gratitude, religious identity, food practices, and debates over inclusion. For many viewers, the most striking image of religion that's talking about on the soccer field, or the football field, I should say, the most striking image came from Spain's Lamine Yamal, whose name was sometimes misspelt online as Lamin. Yamal, a Muslim forward whose father is Moroccan, drew global attention earlier in the tournament when he performed sujood after scoring. Religious news service described the gesture as a Muslim expression of gratitude to God performed before millions on football's largest stage. Well, after Spain won the final, social media clips again focused on Yamal pausing in prayer while tension unfolded elsewhere on the pitch. Major match reports confirmed that the final whistle was followed by ugly scenes, including shoving and confrontations involving Argentine's players. Well, the Associated Press reported that Leandro Paredes shoved Spanish players Eric Garcia and Gavi as celebrations began. Well, against that backdrop, Yamal's quiet posture became, for many fans, a visual contrast between gratitude and anger. Well, the article goes on, Christian expressions of faith were also just as visible. After Germany's 7-1 victory over Curacao in Houston, players from both teams gathered in a prayer circle at full time. German midfielder Felix Nemka and defender Jonathan Tah joined Curacao players in a moment that spread quickly online. Nemka later said that opponents on the field could still be brothers in faith after the match, according to Golf News. Well, the US team also developed a visible post-game player rhythm, with defender Mark McKenzie, though not a regular starter, became known for leading teammates in prayer after matches. The Houston Chronicle reported that what began with a few players grew into a larger midfield huddle, with McKenzie describing the practice as a way to stay grounded after wins, loses, or draws. Catholic faith also appeared through players, coaches, and national traditions. Croatia's Luka Modric, playing in his fifth World Cup, has long been open about his Catholic devotion. And AP noted that Croatian players gathered for Mass before traveling to the United States. And so the article goes on, and it even mentions Jewish communities having kosher food, Shabbat meals were prepared, prayer gatherings, halal food prepared for Muslims as well, and even a Sikh player made history as the first Sikh player in a World Cup. Now, Justin, as I look at this interesting, fascinating article, actually, in the recent decades of the, you know, as we look at the Western world in recent decades, we've seen this sort of decline in religion. But what does this public display of religion at the FIFA World Cup tell you about how central religion and spirituality is to our lives and in our society at large?
Yeah, there has been an obvious decline in people going to church the couple of decades, but I do think that there is a resurgence in people going back to their faith. And, you know, for instance, you know, people attending Orthodox churches and traditional churches, you know, there's actually a rise, and especially
fascinating.
Yeah, there's some surveys that I've actually read, and they're saying that more young people are actually wanting to connect with their spiritual roots and to have a faith in God. So it's interesting that we see, you know, how many sports stars actually showed their faith in a very public way. And one of the outstanding players was Messi. Even Messi.
Oh, yes.
Even Messi, because, you know, I was reading an article, another one, this afternoon, and apparently it was after the game against Algeria. And Messi is like the superstar of soccer.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you can't really get higher than Messi. And, you know, he's a devout Catholic. And he said this, you know, at a talk, you know, when they interview the players after the game, he said this: "I can't ask for more than what I received. As I've said many times, thank God that he has given me so much. And everything that comes now is a blessing." So he's basically giving credit to God for all the things that he's able to accomplish and that he's received. And it's interesting to see that, you know, so many young athletes, you know, giving glory to God in such a competitive world. I mean,
it's very competitive.
It's very, very challenging.
Yes.
To stay true, you know, to the Bible in that kind of atmosphere.
Yeah. I was going to ask you that, you know, do you see any issues with kind of using the sports arena, or not necessarily using it, but just being public about your faith in that sort of arena?
I think it's very challenging. Do you know the story of a Swiss footballer, Sylvain Wallner? Have you heard of him?
I haven't heard of him.
This is actually
Sylvain
Wallner, and Wallner. He was a Swiss soccer player. And this is actually a true story. And he was really climbing high in terms of the national soccer team. He had a lot of potential. And what happened was, 2 years ago, he discovered the Sabbath.
Okay.
And there's actually been a number of articles written about this young, promising Swiss footballer, and he quit.
Right?
He quit. And he, in his own words, on this Christian website, he said this. These are the words of the Swiss footballer that quit a promising future within world football, and he said these words: "I'm a devout Christian and read the Bible. I want to follow Jesus Christ. And the biblical day of rest has become important to me." So he accepted the Sabbath. "For me as a pro, this means that from now on, I don't want to play football on Saturdays for profit. It is my personal conviction that I have come to in these last few days." And so he took a real bold stand, you know, for his faith in God. And, you know, he copped a lot of criticism. You can imagine, you know, someone who was so promising, throwing away, you know, all, you know, his potential and promising future, you know, to follow the convictions of his heart. And I think that really makes a massive impact. I think it's, you know, you'll get the haters that think that he's absolutely lunatic. I mean, that's for sure. But then you'll get young people that will wonder, well, you know, maybe there is something in the Bible, when there's something in the Sabbath, you know, for this young man to give up everything in terms of his football career. There's got to be something in it. So I think God can use these people for his glory.
So in that sporting place, obviously this young man had to take a stand for his faith. He had to make a choice whether he was going to stick with the word of God, or whether he was going to put his sport ahead of God. And essentially essentially he's saying, no, God comes first. But that could be a really difficult thing. Like it seems like you're sort of suggesting that that's not an easy thing to do. And unfortunately, stories like this, as inspiring as they are quite rare.
Quite rare.
You know, So I also wanted to touch on another quote, actually, that came from the World Religion News website on this article that was dealing with faith and the World Cup. And the quote said this, it's getting towards the end of the article. It said, "The 2026 World Cup also showed that religion in public life can be complicated. A planned pride-themed march in Seattle..." in Seattle involving Egypt and Iran drew objections from faith and political leaders in those countries. While FIFA emphasized that the tournament was intended to welcome people from all backgrounds, such disputes reveal the harder side of pluralism. Global sport brings together communities whose religious, cultural, and political commitments do not always align neatly. And so obviously this was a very good point that was made in the article, that obviously not all belief systems can just align. There are differences, and some of those differences are very pronounced. And so as a Christian, how do we draw the line? How do you draw the line, Pastor Justin, for what you accept and what you reject? I know it's a very broad question, but thinking about it, you know, when we see these kinds of world events taking, you know, or world, you know, sporting events or other type of events that try and bring people together, but ultimately it's like, well, there's a limit to how close these kinds of things can really bring people, because ultimately we have to stand for something. How do you draw the line?
To align your conscience with the Word of God.
All right. That sounds like Martin Luther.
Yeah. If your conscience is aligned with the Word of God.
Here I stand, I can do no other.
That's right. So his conscience was captive to the Word of God. And if anything contravenes or contradicts the clear expressed Word of God, that's where you draw the line. And so it's about, you know, having a sensitive conscience that, you know, that God will help us to perceive, you know, the dangers of, you know, conformity.
Mm.
And, but
what if that's just sort of your interpretation of what the Bible says?
Well, I do believe that there is absolute truth. I do believe that there are principles in the Word of God that you cannot controvert.
And so, I do too, by the way.
Yeah, that's right. So I think it's very important that the Word of God defines and describes to us, you know, the rule of our practice. And let me just say that the sporting world out there is dark. And I don't want to sound, you know, conspiratorial or anything, but if you watch the lot of the opening ceremonies of the Olympic Games, and I've watched quite a few around the world, you know, just, you know, not live, but, you know, just documentaries, it's filled with a lot of dubious things that do not align with the Word of God. So it's very hard as a Christian, I believe, to thrive in the sporting sphere when there's so much. You know, if you look at sport, it's very much about glory to self. It's about chasing fame and fortune and money. And I think it's very hard for someone to stay true to the Bible and true to their convictions. But, you know, God does have his people everywhere. And I think it's a good thing when you have sporting stars, you know, even at the World Cup, that openly acknowledge that their faith in Christ. And I think that's a real good thing.
This is a controversial topic. We're going to be coming to another one after the break when we look at this question of, you know, does attending church mean that someone is a faithful Christian? What do we do with hypocrisy within the Christian faith? How do we deal with that? How do we work with that? Don't go anywhere. We are going to be right back after some music. This is Carly Kachansky with a powerful song, one that she wrote called Follow the Lamb. I trust that you'll be blessed and inspired by this song.
We will keep the commandments of God through the faithfulness of Jesus Christ with patient endurance and faith. We will follow the Lamb. We will follow the Lamb wherever he goes, walking in the light on this narrow road. We will give our lives for the walking in the light on this narrow road. We will give our lives for the cause of Christ. We will follow, follow the Lamb. We will follow the Lamb wherever He goes. Walking in the light on this narrow road. We will give our lives for the cause of Christ. We will follow, follow the Lamb. We will follow, follow.
Was Carly Fletcher and the Simone Choir with Follow the Lamb. What a powerful song. Justin, I'd love to see us singing that song in churches.
Yeah.
That is a powerful, powerful song.
Yeah, I haven't heard that song many times, but it is beautiful.
It's powerful. Yeah. By the way, if you've just tuned in, you're on Faith FM. This is Big Q&A. And this is Marty and Justin. We're coming to you live from Adelaide today. Friends, we are dealing with a big topic today. We're dealing with hypocrisy within the church. How do we handle that? How do we address that? Are we even brave enough to acknowledge that it does, in fact, exist? Friends, before we come to that, though, we do have a free giveaway. And today's giveaway is, I'm excited about this one. It's a children's book. It's a children's book called I See Jesus. You know, there are so many young families that listen to Faith FM. Mm. And this is just a great book. Maybe if you've got grandkids, maybe you're tuning into Faith FM and you think, hey, I'd love to get my grandkids a beautiful book about discovering Jesus. So this book, children's book called I See Jesus by Charles Mills. Let me just tell you a little bit about the book. This book, I See Jesus, young readers will begin to see Jesus in their everyday lives. How awesome. I mean, I've got four kids myself, and so I'd love to get this book myself. This enchanting collection of 53 short devotional stories helps children uncover the kindness, compassion, and never-ending care of their forever friend Jesus in the most ordinary moments of life. Through the pages of this book, children will dive into stories and connect the dots between ancient wisdom and everyday fun. They'll explore the world through captivating tales and vibrant photos that make Jesus' presence come alive and unlock epic life lessons and values that will shape their character and faith, giving them superpowers for life's challenges. I'm excited, Justin. I want to read the book. I See Jesus is a wonderful companion for children and families, a guide to recognizing Jesus in the ordinary, and a source of inspiration for cultivating a lifelong friendship with the Savior. You know, there is no better time to introduce our kids to Jesus than at the youngest age possible. And this devotional book with 53 short devotionals about Jesus is a must in your library. So friends, if you'd like to claim this free book, Faith FM, we're giving it to you for free. We'd love to see as many families as possible with this book, I See Jesus, in their libraries, teaching their children the good news about Jesus. So if you'd like to get your free copy of I See Jesus, all you've got to do is text our studio number. Our studio number is 0488 808 11. I'll give you time just to put that number in your phone. The number again is 0488 808 11. And once you've got that number in your phone, just you can save it. Save it as a Faith FM drive time number, because we have offers regularly. And our special code that you need to text to our Faith FM number, our drive time number, to get I See Jesus, the code is SA426. Really simple. Just text us the code SA426 to 0488 808 11, and we will get you this amazing children's book in the fastest way possible. Justin, we're dealing with a big topic today. This is a touchy topic, hypocrisy in the church. Does going to church regularly mean that automatically that someone is a faithful believer. What does the Bible tell us about this?
Yeah, hypocrisy is a very, I think it's a very real and relevant topic, and I'm actually glad that we're spending some time on this. And I'm sure, Pastor Marty, you have met people that say, well, I don't go to church anymore because of the hypocrisy that I see in the church amongst
absolutely
church members.
This is like a,
it's rife.
It's it almost sounds like a broken record sometimes, but yeah. I think it's a very genuine, for a lot of people, I believe it is a very genuine objection, and it's terrible to think that there are people, you know, and that even wow, maybe I'll share one of my own experiences throughout today's session, but it's a pretty scary thing, isn't it, to claim to be a Christian but actually pushing people away from Christ.
Yeah, and this is a real issue in our world today. We cannot ignore it. You know, I like Barna. You know, I think he's done a lot of research, and he comes up with really good stats. And he even did a survey regarding hypocrisy. And these are just the stats from the Barna study. And he's been around for a very long time. It's probably one of the most credible sources.
Yeah.
And
I think over 30 years.
Oh, that's right, a couple of decades. And, you know, he did the survey on hypocrisy in the church. And according to this specific survey that he did recently, so I'm going to throw out some numbers. 55% of non-religious people in America say that Christians are hypocritical.
How many?
55% of non-religious. So people that have no church affiliation, you know, they're not Christian. They say more than half that Christians are hypocritical.
Wow.
And 42% of people with no faith say hypocrisy in Christians causes them to doubt Christianity. So that's a high
percentage.
That's
massive.
That is. You know, 42%, you know, they look at the lives of Christians and they say, you know what? They claim to follow, you know, God and Jesus, but based on the way that they live their lives, like, I'm not interested. Okay.
So should we even be telling people we're Christians?
I think we'll get to that.
and that's not good.
And then 18% of global teens describe Christians as hypocrites. And one in three young adults who left the church, according to Barna, said that they did so because churches were hypocritical or judgmental.
Wow. I wonder how many of these people are young people as well.
I think young people are particularly sensitive to hypocrisy. And, you know, we need to be very sensitive to our young people, because a lot of the objections are valid. You know, let me give an example. Okay. You know, you look in the world today, especially in the United States, you have the mega church movement.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been doing a lot of analysis of the mega church movement. It's a particular area that I'm very interested in. You know, what gave rise to the mega churches? What are the factors that cause an explosion of the in these churches? And, you know, and then what led to their demise? And what's really interesting is that if you look at the majority of the mega churches in the United States at this very time are on a serious decline.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. And I'm not going to name any names, some of the big, you know, preachers, you know.
In other words.
Televangelists.
And it hasn't worked.
It hasn't worked. It's actually imploding. And
well, it's not a biblical model, is it?
And so when they interviewed young people who worked or went to those churches, because I'm really fascinated what the young people say, that some of them were involved in the AV, some of them involved as ushers, and they give the reasons why they don't go to that church anymore, and that hypocrisy would be one of the main reasons, because they would say, you know, these preachers, they go up there and they preach all these, you know, lovely flowery things, but their lives are totally inconsistent and contradictory to everything that they preach.
Yeah.
And so, you know, this is a real thing. This is...
I think that young people, that they see through that.
Oh, absolutely.
They see through that.
Yeah.
Big time.
They've got they're very sensitive to hypocrisy. So what does hypocrisy actually mean? You know, it comes from the Greek word.
It's kind of like saying one thing, doing another.
Yeah, it actually comes from the Greek word hypokrisis, which means, according to the Greek definition, play acting, someone acting under a mask.
Okay.
So someone that uses a mask. And so in Bible times, in those days in which the Bible was written, they would have actors perform arts and theater. And sometimes the artists would be called hypocrites.
Mm-hmm.
And so these were actors pretending to be something that they are not.
Yeah, right.
So that is probably the simplest definition of a hypocrite, according to the Bible. Okay. Someone who pretends, it's play acting.
That's why Jesus called the religious leaders of his day hypocrites.
Oh, yeah.
Because he said that they were, you know, in many ways preaching, you know, about holiness and about obeying God. But in their own lives, they were totally breaking those commandments.
Whitewashed tombs.
Whitewashed tombs.
I mean, Jesus.
Full of dead men's bones.
Yeah, that's right. Jesus let rip. I mean, Jesus had quite a bit to say over hypocrisy, actually.
I don't think you find any more passionate or in some ways stirring, messages than, you know, Matthew chapter 23, where he gives the woes to the scribes and the Pharisees.
You know, that was the ultimate showdown between Jesus and the Pharisees and, you know, the religious scribes. And Jesus let rip, if I can just use that word.
Yeah.
Jesus did not hold back.
Mm.
But if you go to Luke chapter 12, Jesus says here in Luke chapter 12, verse 1, Jesus says, beware of the leaven.
We say leaven in Australia.
That's right, leaven.
Pastor Justin.
Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy.
Yeah.
For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be made known. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have spoken in the ear in inner rooms will be proclaimed on the housetops. And so, you know, Jesus warns against the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. And it's very interesting. If you go to the previous chapter in Luke chapter 11,
mm-hmm.
you know, Jesus didn't just say this haphazardly or randomly, but there's clear context to why Jesus said that. You had this interaction.
This is where he's also doing the woes.
Yeah, against, that's right. That's right.
You know, so, the woes against the religious leaders.
So this is a sister chapter to Matthew 23, but mm-hmm. the Bible speaks about, you know, this scene where in verse 37, actually you can read it in Luke 11, verse 37, it says, and as he spoke, a certain Pharisee asked him to dine with him. So he went in and sat down to eat. When the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he did not first wash before dinner. Then the Lord said to him, now you Pharisees make the outside of the cup dish clean, but your inward part is full of greed and wickedness. I'll stop there. But Jesus, once again, he basically rebukes their hypocritical behavior. And so he failed to wash his hands.
Mm.
But he did not contravene the law of God. It was one of the ceremonial laws that they instituted.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they were so legalistic in their approach to religion that the mercy and the love of God was completely eclipsed. And so people were actually bound by all these rules and regulations, and they lost sight of the essence of the gospel. It was lost sight because they were so fixated about being so particular in every slight detail and iota of all the ritualistic ceremonies that when God is searching for love and mercy and compassion towards their fellow, you know, brothers and sisters, they're completely forgot about what it means to be a good neighbor. And so
they'd become focused on external sort of ceremonies, but their hearts were far from God.
Exactly. You know, and Jesus said in Matthew 23, and you alluded to that, Pastor Marty, Matthew 23, verse 25. Maybe you can read that for us.
Matthew 23, verse 25. All right. I'm just turning there. Matthew 23, verse 25, the Bible says, these are the words of Jesus. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence.
So what do you think Jesus is saying here?
You look good on the outside, but inwardly there's corruption.
Moral corruption.
There's moral corruption.
You know, there's this moral, I like to use the word duplicity.
Mm.
And
they did things to be seen by others.
There was this ostentatious display.
Yeah.
You know, standing before the people.
Display is a good word, I think.
You know, we have that in Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, mm-hmm. in the very Sermon on the Mount.
Jesus talking about prayer.
Again, Jesus alludes to the hypocritical behavior of the Pharisees. Take heed, verse 1, that you do not do the charitable deeds before men and be seen by them, otherwise you have no reward from your Father in heaven. And so, you know, Jesus, and then down in verse 5, he says, when you pray, you will not be like the hypocrites. So here, even in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus speaks about hypocrisy, this moral duplicity, where you live a life of double standards, where your mouth and your heart is disconnected.
Mm. I once heard that said that the longest distance in the world is between the heart and the mouth.
Correct. You know, it's interesting, even in Isaiah 29 verse 13, I find this really a fascinating Bible verse in Isaiah 29 verse 13. Isaiah 29 verse 13, and can I read that for us?
Please, yeah.
Inasmuch as these people draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me. See, God is interested in the heart.
Mm.
God is not interested in externals. You know, he doesn't like fakeness.
Yeah.
God wants authenticity. You know, just to be open. Even if you are feeling condemned, and you realize that you are a sinner in need of the grace of Christ, be open before God. Come before God and openly confess. God will look favorably upon those who confess their shortcomings and failures.
We're going to come to a break, and I'm loving this discussion though, because I think it's very, very, very real, very relevant, and thank you so much, Justin, for what you've been sharing with us. We're going to come to some music. The song I've picked is a very beautiful one. It's called Your Grace Still Amazes Me. I pray that you're blessed by this song. We'll be back very soon.
My faithful Father, enduring friend, your tender mercies like a river with no end, it overwhelms me, covers my sin each time I come in. I stand in wonder once again.
Your grace still amazes me. Your love is still a mystery. Each day I fall on my knees. Your grace still amazes me.
Amazing grace God has for each of us. Welcome back. You're listening to Faith FM Drive Time, Big Q&A. This is Marty and Justin coming to you live from the studio here in Adelaide. And friends, we have been talking about hypocrisy, hypocrisy within Christianity. Yes, it's real. Yes, many people say that that's why they've disconnected from church even, and particularly young people. When they see it, it really, really has an impact on them. And so this is a serious topic. It's one that we all have to, I suppose, Justin, we all have to look at our own lives and ensure, you know, am I living according to what am I doing what I'm saying? You know, am I practicing what I'm preaching, so to speak? But before we just come back into that, Bible study, I want to once again, share with you that we do have a free giveaway. It's a children's book called I See Jesus by Charles Mills. Now, this is an amazing book. I did talk a little bit about it earlier. I just want to share briefly again that in I See Jesus, this is a devotional book for kids. And so we'd love to see here at Faith FM, families raising their kids to know Jesus. And I think sometimes, you know, families, you know, we're time poor. We don't know maybe where, what to read that's going to interest our kids. This enchanting collection of 53 short devotional stories helps children to discover the kindness, compassion, and never-ending care of their forever friend, Jesus. And so if you want to get this book, this free children's book, all you've got to do is text our studio number. Maybe you're a grandparent, you want to get it for your grandkids. Maybe you're a parent, you want to get it for your kids. Whatever stage of life you're at, this is a great children's book, great resource to have in your library. Your children will be super excited when it comes to your doorstep, to know that they're getting a special book just for them. They'll be so excited. And so, this book, I See Jesus, if you'd like to get your free copy of it, we are giving it away here at Faith FM. And our drive time studio number that you need to text is 04-888-808-11. That number, one more time, is 04-888-808-11. Just text us the code SA426. Text SA for South Australia, 426, no gaps in between, to our studio number 04-888-808-11. And you'll get our Faith FM robot who will respond to you so that we can get you this book in the fastest way possible. Feel free to send any comments, questions, or where you're listening from. Love to hear from you in the studio today. It's been great to see a number of people text in with the request. It's been really exciting actually to see the number of people who've requested already this week for this book. I'm sure your families are going to be blessed as you read this book, I See Jesus, with your kids. So welcome back. You're listening to Faith FM. This is Drive Time Big Q&A with Marty and Justin coming to you live. Justin, what is the answer to hypocrisy within Christianity?
Look to Jesus.
Look to Jesus. That almost, can I be frank though?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I think that can sometimes be an excuse. I'm going to be honest.
Mm.
Sometimes Christians are like, oh, don't look at me, look at Jesus. And I agree with that. But even the Bible itself, even Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Mm. So people are going to look at us and they are going to expect us to live differently.
Can I be honest with you, Pastor Marty? I like this honesty. We've all been guilty of hypocrisy.
All right. That's true.
You know, you sing in the church, take the world, but give me Jesus. And you mm-hmm. sing it, you know, like with meaning. But have we actually all, you know, I surrender all. Have we surrendered all? You know, we preach about love, the love of God, and to show love to our neighbor. Have we shown perfect love to our neighbor? You know, the Bible says
we fall short.
Yeah, absolutely. In Ephesians 5, it's verse 1, it says, walk in love.
So is that hypocritical?
Well, if you proclaim it, preach it, and you sing it. But you know what, Pastor Marty?
I know what you're saying.
But no, if you confess your sin, you know, I like the story of Luke 18, verse 9 to 14. We don't have time to read the whole story here of the Pharisee and the publican. And the publican was a tax collector who collaborated with Romans, and he was viewed as the worst of sinners. And he had such an overwhelming sense of his shortcomings and failures that he just beats on his chest and he says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Whereas the Pharisee, who made this outward display of holiness, you know, but when in his heart he was really woefully corrupt, he claims to serve God, but he actually serves self. He trusts in self. And so here are these two attitudes. And so
you got the Pharisee and the tax collector.
That's right. And the tax collector, you know, did horrible sins. I mean, but God had mercy upon him. God did not condemn him. And I believe that there is healing in Jesus. And so we recognize and realize that no one is a perfect example of perfect moral rectitude and perfection.
All right.
We fall short of the glory of God. Okay.
That's true.
So, but God's grace is there to cover us, to cleanse us, but also to transform us, to make us more like Jesus. And so the closer we walk with Jesus, we will not be making an outward display, you know, boasting of our self-righteousness. We will be becoming more and more humble like Jesus. And again, I come back to my point, Pastor Marty, is that keep our eyes on Jesus. There is no Christian that is the true standard of Christianity. Christ alone is the true standard of Christianity.
You know, it's so true. We fall short. Hey, and just let me just give a quick shout out to Viv. Viv's listening from Victoria. Great to have you listening, Viv. I hope that you're richly blessed. I saw that you have grabbed a free offer of the I See Jesus book. I hope you and your kids absolutely love the book.
Amen.
But you know, I think that, you know, this is very true. And I think it's sort of by design. Like the reality is, the Bible does say looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And Paul also says, imitate me as I imitate Christ.
Christ is the standard.
You know, he's still pointing to Jesus. He's not pointing to himself as such at all. He's actually pointing to Christ. He's saying that I want to be crucified with Christ so that I no longer live, but Christ lives in me.
Mm.
And, that's a very powerful prayer, isn't it? That Christ would live in us, you know, Christ in us, the hope of glory. And so I do agree that, you know, ultimately, I think it is by design that ultimately people, as much as we'd love to never let anyone down, the reality is that we do.
We do.
And I think that we have to learn not to depend on people, but to depend on Christ ultimately. But I think for someone maybe who doesn't know Jesus yet, we have to really represent Jesus to that person before they're going to come to know him often. Because what's the point of telling them how good Jesus is if we don't treat them with love and kindness?
That can really,
they'll never believe if that's the case.
Yeah, you know, because we can really damage our witness and our credibility to the world when we live lives completely contrary. And I want to say that it is important that we keep our eyes on Jesus and walk on a path of fellowship and friendship with Jesus, where Jesus is transforming us to become more like him. And you know what? We're going to fall. We're going to stumble. Yeah. We will fumble. You know, there'll be bruises and cuts. We will fall short of the glory of God, but he picks us up.
So just quickly, in some quick dot points, Justin, what are some things within the church that we need to just get rid of? What needs to go?
Compromise.
Okay, compromise has got to go. What else?
Putting anything above God.
All right. Anything else? I'm thinking like things like criticism as well.
Criticism, absolutely.
Because that critical attitude can be such a poison in many churches. Yeah, but you're like saying compromise, worldliness, criticism, bitterness, you know.
Being judgmental.
Gossip.
Yeah, gossip.
Wow, we don't talk about that enough, do we?
No.
But that just destroys people's Christian experience. So these things have got to go, and they've got to be replaced with what? Give us the dot points.
Well, it's got to be replaced with an absolute love for the Savior.
All right.
Jesus first.
All right.
You know, I have seen terrible hypocrisy in the church, you know, in my younger years. You know, preachers that stood up and they preached and they did all these wonderful things and they had moral failures.
Wow.
And that really impacted me. And I thought, well, you know, what's the point? But, you know, I went back to the Bible and I praise God that Jesus was not a hypocrite.
Amen.
There was only one shining beacon of perfection and purity in this world, and that is Jesus Christ alone.
Wow.
And so when I look at Jesus, he restores my faith, right? He restores my soul. Even though I see discrepancies in the church, you look at people, you know, when the outward look is discouraging, try the upward look.
Yeah, I like that.
Try the upward
look.
That's
powerful. And
look to Jesus.
When the outward look is discouraging, try the upward look to Jesus.
Yeah. So look to Jesus.
Fix your eyes on him.
So I think that is really, really important, because Jesus is the standard of true Christianity.
You know,
not my pastor, not my elder,
true,
not my friend. They're not the standard of true Christianity, but Christ alone.
This is such a powerful point, Pastor Justin. Would you lead us in just a quick prayer, asking God to help us to put our eyes on Jesus?
Sure. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the wonderful example of Jesus. Thank you that in Christ alone, we can find hope in times of despair. We can find peace in times of storminess. And I pray, dear Lord, that we will behold Christ, and also that we will pray that to reflect you more unto others. And when we see hypocrisy in the church, that we will know how to navigate through that, that we will not be dismayed nor discouraged, but we will keep looking to Jesus. And Lord, that you would forgive us when we are hypocritical. Lord, that we will be like that publican that came to into your presence, said, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Help us to be open, transparent. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Justin. And God bless all of our listeners today. I trust that you've been blessed as we've talked about this very important topic. Tomorrow, Pastor Gary and Pastor David will be answering the question, how do I respond to hypocrisy? They're going to build on what we've shared today. And I'm sure that tomorrow's program is going to be something very special. Until then, I want to leave you with the promise of Jesus. Jesus said, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart, and the peace I give isn't like the peace the world gives. So don't be troubled or afraid, may God richly and abundantly bless you.